You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and yes, again, I'm your host.
The sheriff has spies. Things have changed even since you left. No one trusts his neighbor.
That's the way they keep us under. By calling all those who oppose them outlaws and turning us against each other.
What did that just say? Did you hear that? We better listen to that again. Nashab.
The sheriff has spies. Things have changed even since you left. No one trusts his neighbor.
That's the way they keep us under. By calling all those who oppose them outlaws and turning us against each other.
How apropos. That's exactly what goes on. And that was from a show called Robin Hood. Back in the 50s, from the UK, JUK. Now, I wanted to just explain this before we go into our subject matter. If there's anything that the world wants you to know, I'll tell you what it is. It's not the Jews. That's what the world wants me to know and you to know. I know that because they've told me that over and over. And all the shills in the so-called truth movement, like Ralph Epperson, Bill Cooper, David Icke, etc., 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 have all told me that it's not the Jews. Even the guy that we're going to read this book, we're reading his book today, Fritz Springmeier, he said it wasn't the Jews either. So all these people have been sent out to tell you it's the Jewilluminati or it's the government, which is controlled by the Jews. So it is all these things. Or it's the Catholics. There was a fellow who said it's not the Jews, it's the Catholics. But it turns out he wrote Vatican Assassins, Eric, whatever his name was. And he turned out to be a Jewish diamond merchant. And so Alex Jones told us it wasn't the Jews. Everybody told us it wasn't the Jews, and they want us to know this. And so there's this fellow who goes out there, and he teaches about the Swiss. And he speaks three different languages, and he'll tell you it's the octagon, and it's the Swissy. And he's made statements like the Swiss are the ones that killed the people in the concentration camps. He's very anti-German. He speaks German, but he's very anti-Hitler and anti-German and claims that Hitler's evil. And we see this a lot. Even Fritz Springmeier claims Hitler was evil. And it's very interesting to me how these people always get the Holocaust in their message, just like the Jews do. Not only do they want to tell you it's not the Jews, but they want to tell you about the Holocaust too, and how vicious and hateful and horrible and everything else that it was. They love, this fellow here loves to use the word Nazi over and over and over and over again. He calls them the Swiss Nazis. And then he tells you that Mengele and all these different people lived in Switzerland before they became part of that evil, evil regime. And I must tell you that on one hand, they're part of demonizing something that could have saved us a lot of troubles in our lives. And then they justify and say, oh, it's not the Jews, which have done great damage to our lives and continues to do so on a daily basis. Throughout the centuries, throughout the millenniums, these Jews have been nothing but a source of problems for us, for they're part of the test. It's aggravating. I want you to hear what he wants you to know now. You ready? Nashab.
My dear Muslim brothers, my dear right-wing nationalists, and my dear ultra-left-wingers, the enemy are not the Jews, as the Swiss Templar Nazis want to make us believe. But the enemy of the US, the UK, and the entire Anglo-Saxon world are the pharaohs. And pharaohs' aristocracy, with their main base Switzerland of the Nazi Templars. It is Pharaoh, the evil of and scourge of humanity, testified in the Quran, in the Bible, and in the Torah as the incarnation of evil and abundantly written about.
There you have it. And now you know just another one of these fellows whose sole purpose is to tell you it's not the Jews. And he said things like the Templars, these Swissies, they did the Bolshevik Revolution. It wasn't the Jews. And they did this, and they did the Inquisition, and they did all kinds of things. But it wasn't the Jews who did any of those things. And it's these Swissies who are the bankers. It's not the Jews. Like the Swiss want you to believe it's the Jews, he says. Right? You see, this is incredible. And he even wants the Muslims to know it's not the Jews, as you noticed. He's pro-Jew, he's pro-Muslim, and he says he's pro-Christian, but he's anti-Christ. He does not believe that Christ, that Jesus is Yahweh in the flesh. He does not believe that. He says he comes from the line of a pharaoh. In other words, the next thing I'm waiting to hear from this fellow, of course, I'm not going to spend that much time with him. He's a repetitious fellow about the same things like other people in the truth movement that don't really have anything new for you. But I'm waiting for him to tell me that it was the Swiss that crucified Jesus Christ, not the Jews. I'm waiting for that. He hasn't said that yet, as far as I know, but that's got to be coming. It was the Swiss that executed Jesus, not the Jews. See? You see what kind of crap goes on in this world? And I'll tell you, I've noticed of recent, the devil's very worried about us finding out about the name of Yahweh. I can see this very clearly. And he's trying to confuse the brethren, and he's trying to make them think twice, well, is that his name? And all these different things. And I know what this is. I know that the devil is worried if we pray in the Father's name, if we use the Father's name, we will have power because there's power in the Father's name. So he wishes to make sure. Somehow, I see this movement growing and growing and growing, and there's more and more people trying to come out and say, oh, it's not Yahweh. That's not his name. No, no, no. That's not his name. One fellow said, oh, his name is Jesus Christ. But Christ is not a name. It's a title. As I told you, I have no problem with the name Jesus, but I pray in the Father's name. Yahweh. And I've seen my prayers be answered in his name. And I do believe the devil's very upset about it. You'll notice that this fellow has several YouTube channels. YouTube's not shutting him down like they shut me down. No problem with him talking about, he said he's been persecuted on YouTube, but he's still on YouTube. And he's been on YouTube for years and years and years. And YouTube has recently just kicked almost everybody off. I mean, there's very little going on YouTube as far as I know. I mean, I don't really see much of the truth left on YouTube. You would see shills like Adam Green, who's a Jew. The name Green is Jew. And that was already, you know, all these different people, they're all still on YouTube. YouTube's not kicking them off. There's no Jews reporting them either. And Jews love to report people. There was an incident at a Texas postal office, where a Negroid was not giving good service at the office, and one white old fat fellow began to say some things. Well, there was a little Jew boy in line, and he took pictures, and he reported him, and they put him right on the news and or interviewed him, and he's so proud of his little Jew self that he reported somebody. Be ye careful in these days, but be ye not fearful in these days. Be careful, but don't be fearful. Don't let fear rule you. One more item before we go into the subject matter, and this is something I read on yesterday's Rabbit Hole radio show, which I thought was quite a nice show. I don't do shows that I don't think are nice or don't think are good. I try to do the best I can for you. I try to think of you when you're looking for something to learn or this or that, and I try to have it up there and ready for you. I think of you all the time. I think of the sheep. I care for the sheep. I don't know why the sheep don't seem to care much for me. But whatever, whatever will be, I will continue. Because the Father told me to. Now, when you see this, this is from The Curse of Canaan, which I read this book years ago now, and I had different eyes than I do now, so I am going to get to this book because it is chock full of incredible information. And this is one such thing that Eustace Mullins, whom I interviewed, I still haven't put the interview out, I just haven't had the time. I want to listen to it, and I haven't really had the time. This is from The Curse of Canaan, and Eustace Mullins is definitely, he was persecuted by the Jews. He is one of the greatest researchers of our time, and this is part of his research. I would like you to really stop your mind from thinking at this point and listen to what is being said. Try to listen to this carefully. When I told you the German film, The Eternal Jew, had Jews, Khazars, Khazarian Jews, coming from that area into Germany, they were all merchants when we saw them in their habitat that the Germans gave them an area to live in. They were all merchants, and even the film said, there wasn't a farmer among them. Also, they said they studied these Jews in this area that moved into Germany, and they went and studied the Jews in Palestine, and they said they were the same people. This is a testimony right here. Okay, let me give you the first premise. The Jews have this little game that I told you about several times, but maybe you're new and haven't heard it. They're trying to pretend that 95% of today's Jews are fake Jews. They're these Khazarian Jews, which are known as the Ashkenazi Jews. Nazi. Ashkenazi. Or Nazi. And 5% of Jews are the real Jews, the real tribe of Judah, the good, the good Jews. There's no such thing as the good Jews. There's no such thing as 95% being fake Jews. They are all Jews. A Jew is a Jew, a Jew, a Jew, a Jew is a Jew, is a Jew, a Jew, Jew, a Jew, a Jew, a Jew, a Jew is a Jew, a Jew. ado. And without further ado or adieu, here's the fact. Are you listening? The Canaanite political parties included the Pharisees, Sadducees, Zealots, Essenes, Assassins, Herodians, and Scribes. They were also divided into the Amorites, Hittites, Moabites, Midianites, Philistines, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Sepharvaims, Perizzites, and affiliated tribes. This is the crux of this fact right here. Are you ready? Are you listening? Nashab, prick your ears up like a German shepherd. Later, the Edomites descended from Esau, intermarried with the Turks, and became known as the Khazars, who eventually occupied present-day Israel. This is from page 22 of The Curse of Canaan by Eustace Mullins. Now, like I told the people yesterday, he did not spell Khazars with a K. He spelled it with a C. And I looked up the word Khazar. And believe it or not, it means pig or swine. It's funny how many times the Jews are called swine. The Morano Jew is known as a swine. Isn't it funny that the Father says in the flesh, Yeshua said, which means Yahweh saves, he said, cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you, or they trample your pearls under feet. In other words, don't waste your time trying to tell the Jews about the treasures of the scriptures, or truth, your pearls, the pearl of truth. Don't waste your time. Because they'll just want to pick up stones and kill you, like they did with him. So, Esau intermarried with the Turks. And that's why they're called Turco-Mongolian. They're also bringing the Turks into Germany by the droves. And so this is something for you to consider and understand. But notice that, again, go look up Khazars with a C, C-H-A-Z-A-R-S. I even saw that when I looked it up, there were three different renditions. There's the one that you've heard of with K-H-A, but there's also the Khazars. So these are the ways the Jews hide things. I told you another example of that would be they used to call it the Sohar, the S-O-H-A-R-S, or H-A-R. Now they call it the Zohar. That way there, if you're looking up Sohar, and you might be able to find some information. Of course, they've buried as much as they could. And then they change it to Zohar. Another technique of today I'll mention is the Young Turks. Here we are with Turks again. These Turks are Jews. They intermarried with the Turks. Esau intermarried with the Turks, right? So the Young Turks is a term that was used in the time when they killed the Armenian Christians, 1.5 million of them. Those were the Young Turks that did that. They infiltrated the religion there and the government, and they told the people, we believe you have terrorists among you, and if you would just give up your guns, we can all live in peace. And as soon as they gave up the guns, 1.5 million of them were killed. Their hands were chopped off and strewn along the roads. another, so they're using this term, the Young Turks. It's even been used for the mafia, by the way. But they're using it now with the newer Jews, and they're trying to bury the Armenian Young Turks. You understand what I'm saying? So if you did a search for the Armenian Young Turks, you'd get all this nonsense from today's Young Turks that are, you know, supposedly harmless little boys and girls. So this is something that you should understand how things are hidden. I'm going to tell you something right now that I believe that even in the last month, Google has gotten a lot worse and a lot worse and a lot worse. It's becoming a useless and useless search engine almost. I like Google search engine. I hate Google. But it's becoming to the point, it is coming to the point where they're blocking websites. They're making sure that things don't show up in searches, etc., etc. The Jews always cheat. They can never play fair. They never have played fair. And they never will, because they're afraid to play fair. They know they'd lose. So, I don't know what you think about all that, but that's what I wanted you to know from the beginning of today's show. And now let's get back to the Watchtower and the Masons. We left off on page 46. And we were given parallels. There are parallels between the Masons and the Watchtower, the Jehovah Witnesses, their beliefs. And it continues here. Parallels in their beliefs. Both use the Masonic term, great architect. Russell used this term frequently. This is discussed further in the book in chapter 6, where his use of Masonic buzzwords is discussed. This is the Masonic term for God, but not that doesn't mean Yahweh. Masonry, Mackey's, an Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Volume 1, under the article Great Architect of the Universe. The title is applied in the technical language of Freemasonry to the deity. The deity. Get it? It is appropriate that a society founded on the principles of architecture, which symbolizes the terms of that science to moral purposes, and whose members profess to be the architects of a spiritual temple, should view the divine being, under whose holy law they are constructing that edifice, as their master builder or great architect. Sometimes, but less correctly, the title Grand Architect of the Universe is found. Okay, next parallel. Both believe God yielded power to a lesser God. Russell's belief, still adhered to by the present society, is that paradise was lost, but this golden age will be recovered. The supreme God, Jehovah, which I submit to you is not, I know is not Yahweh, but I think it is their God, the devil. The supreme God, Jehovah, has had to yield power to a lesser God, Satan, for 6,000 years to allow the time to prove Satan's challenge a lie to the angels, thereby vindicating Jehovah. Okay, Yahweh has not, see, Yahweh would have nothing to prove to angels or anything else. Okay, this is just Russell's nonsense. Now, you know he's already rejected God. He's already rejected Christianity and the church, right? And he said that he bowed his knee to the lesser God, the unknown God, that is. a lesser god that is the unknown god. So he says the supreme god Jehovah has had to yield power to a lesser god Satan. Oh, sure. For 6,000 years, to allow time to prove Satan's challenge a lie to the angels, thereby vindicating Jehovah. Sure. The JW, or Jehovah Witness viewpoint, is a common view adopted by those who can't explain suffering without limiting God in such a way that he doesn't have any control over such affairs. In contrast to those beliefs, Christians do not feel God has to prove anything, but is in control of everything. And that's what I was just saying. But Jehovah is not God. That's not the Father's name. Yahweh is his name. Masonry. Now, what do they believe in this? The Masons believe that the Golden Age, paradise, according to the ancient pagan Egyptian religion they borrow from, was an age when men and gods could live happily together. This golden age was lost, according to the Egyptians and Masons, when the supreme god Ra yielded to a lesser god. See, Ra is not Yahweh. That's the devil, the sun god. That's the one the Pope was kneeling and praying to on the float in the parade that I told you I saw. The golden age. Run for the shadows of these golden years. Bop, bop, bop. Right? I mention that from time to time. The golden age. It continues. Several Masonic books deal with their beliefs from ancient Egypt. Leadbeater, that's a writer, a Masonic writer, his ancient mystic rites is good in this respect. Page 17 deals with their belief in Ra and light. Sunlight. Okay, here we are. Now, this is what the Muslims believe. This is what anybody that's Antichrist. If you believe this, you're Antichrist. And this is the Arian doctrine. A-R-I-A-N. Not the Arian white people, but the Arian doctrine. It's a heresy that was spoken about earlier in this book. Parallels in their beliefs. Again, Jesus is only a good man, not Almighty God. Russell. See Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, Chapter 10, page 176 through 179, for a taste of Russell's view of Christ. Christ, in Russell's view, was just a good man. Remember, his family came from that part of Scotland and Ireland where the Presbyterian Church was teaching the Arian doctrine. And that's what this is. And this is clearly Antichrist doctrine. Clearly, Russell is an Antichrist, and clearly the people of the Jehovah Witnesses are Antichrist, and an Antichrist religion, definitely. Masonry. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, 25th Degree, published by Supreme Masonic Council of 33rd Degree, 1871, page 34. Here's the quote. And the divine wise intellect sent teachers into men, Enoch and Noah, and Abraham and Moses, the son of Imran, and the prophets, and Pythagoras, and Plato, and Jesus, the son of Joseph, the Lord, the Messiah, and his apostles, and after these, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, with his law, which is the law of Islam. And the disciples of truth followed the law of Islam. Jesus is only a man. Isis Unveiled, page 239. Jesus was just a man. He was one of the exemplars, one of the great men of the past, but not divine. The Deadly Deception by Jim Shaw, ex-33rd Degree, and Tom McKenney, Lafayette, L.A., Huntington House, Incorporated, 1988. So that's from a book. But you see, ISIS Unveiled is, I believe, is Blavatsky. So you can see that Pike is trying to mix everything together. He's mixing all the religions together and making claims that are not true. See, he said, the divine wise intellect, the devil, the shining one. Stephen Knight, The Brotherhood, page 234, states, in Masonry we learn Christ is not God, but man. I hope you're listening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you are getting everything out of these shows you possibly can. I hope you're listening to them several times. I can never tell what you people are doing or thinking. Few people write, you know, some people write me. A good amount of people write me. But I don't see anybody excited in what we're learning. I don't see anybody, I mean, there's some, but I don't see a lot of people saying, my goodness, I never knew these things. Because, of course, our people know everything. Everything I teach, they know every little ounce of what I teach, because that's how our people are. They know it whether they know it or not, because they're afraid to say they don't know it. So, that was The Brotherhood, page 234. Stephen Knight states, in Masonry, we learn Christ is not God, but man. In Vindex's estimation, the man who showed more than any other man who ever lived what God is like, he later adds, I, for one, can never understand how anyone who takes an exclusive view of Christ as the only complete revelation of God's truth can become a Freemason without suffering from spiritual schizophrenia. Well, dear fellow, when you take on demons in every degree and you get more light, this intellect is exactly, see, intellect is more of a science thing rather than knowledge that the Father gives and wisdom. Intellect is more scientific, and the intellect is what this Lucifer brings, or what the monolith brought in 2001, A Space Odyssey. And the sequel, many monoliths were born out of the second sun as it was born. You see, there was two suns at the end of that movie. I explained that. You should go back and listen to that. The box, the cube, and the monolith, and shows back then. Because it's very revealing what was said. See, intellect is a little different. Let's look at the word intellect. Elect. Into elect. Intellect. See, the elect should be all of our race. Because we're all the offspring of Yahweh, speaking of the Adamic race, the Caucasian race, the Nordic peoples, the Scandinavian peoples, the Anglo-Saxon peoples, the Celtic peoples, the Germanic peoples. And so the devil shines his light into the elect. I just thought that out right now, but don't be amazed by it because you already knew all that. Everybody knows everything. Believe me. Even I knew it before I said it. I mean, you know, I just decided, well, you know, because I know it all too. No, I don't know it all. I'm on the course of learning, constantly learning. I don't even know hardly anything as far as I'm concerned. And yet I know many things. And yet I know a little about many things or a lot about some things. But I certainly don't know it all. Do you? Intellect. Into elect. Into the elect. Very interesting, isn't it? So intellect is more of a science thing. Intellect is what the Pharisees, when they said, show us a sign. You have, the more people learn this intellect in the world, they used to believe in the Father. They were more superstitious and they used to believe in God. But now that they have learned intellect from the world and the universities of the world, they have become science-minded. And so they want to see a sign. They don't want to believe by faith because intellect has nothing to do with faith. Intellect is the rejection of faith. Intellect wants to see a sign. It wants proof because that's what scientists do. They prove theories. They prove this and that. And yet the theory of evolution has never been proved, even till today. And the Big Bang theory has never been proved, etc., etc., etc. And so you think about those things. Intellect, it's just different than the knowledge. It's the simulation. It's the emulation. It's the imitation of what Yahweh gives us when he gives us knowledge and wisdom, which is the application of knowledge, as well as understanding. You understand what I'm saying? So intellect is the devil's thing. That's what Eve, that's what the knowledge of good and evil is, especially the knowledge of evil. It's intellect into the elect. And the elect shouldn't have it. The elect should be full of faith in the Father rather than intellect. I hope that's clear to you, okay? This was just my comment on this particular thing about intellect. Let's get back to the article. So, Hiram Abiff is the Messiah. Now, we talked about this before, but he's repeating some of this. Russell, in his sermon, The Desire of All Nations, quote unquote, says that the Messiah that the Jews and Christians are waiting for, the Christians aren't waiting for a Messiah. You see? See, this is something that if you don't pay attention, you don't understand. The Jews are waiting for a Messiah, and yet they've claimed that they are the Jewish people are the Messiah. So he says in that sermon that the Messiah that the Jews and the Christians are waiting for is the same personage as Hiram Abiff. Hiram is the sun god, much more than just a man, but a resurrected Messiah. But how did Russell learn this? Now, I just told you about Ra, the sun god, right? You know, folks, things are so simple that people try to complicate these things, and they're really not, you don't have to complicate them. There's no need to complicate them, and yet people still do this. I just don't, Paul talks about the simplicity, the Apostle Paul talks about the simplicity in Christ. There's no need to complicate everything. That's what intellect is. Intellect would complicate things. I suppose we're all guilty of that somehow, some way in this world, but there really is no need to complicate things. Let's see what the time is here. Okay, I'll read a little more and then we'll do a break. So, how did Russell learn about that? That Hiram Abiff is the sun god? Funny. Well, I won't talk about the numbers. Masonry. Hiram Abiff has been linked with several pagan gods, including Osiris, the Egyptian sun god, and Baal, the Canaanite Phoenician sun god, Hiram Abiff is the Masonic Messiah. King Solomon, King Hiram, and Hiram Abiff, also written C. Hiram or Chiram, to the initiated from the triune foundation of existence, quote-unquote, the throne of Chiram is the sun. Chiram, which is Hiram, is the active life principle throughout the elements which depend upon his activity for their existence. As Christ, he was crucified upon the cross. His divine body he offered up as food for the sustenance of his creations, for he himself became the bread and the wine of men. Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy by Manly Hall, that's Manly P. Hall, unnumbered page facing CLXX111. Hall sums up the Hiram Abiff story as, quote, a philosophic exposition of redemption of human soul. Should say of the human soul, I believe. And then it says, while the Christian Messiah is called Jesus, the Mason's Messiah is called Hiram. The Masonic Handbook for all Blue Lodges in the Grand Lodge of Kentucky and the Kentucky Monitor, the Spirit of Masonry, quote-unquote, page XV. Each three-degree Mason impersonates Osiris, the sun god, and enters into his life of good deeds, his death, his burial, and is raised in his resurrection from the dead. May I add this, by the grip of the lion's paw. That's from the Deadly Deception, page 154. The legend of Hiram is thoroughly Egyptian and is closely allied to the supreme right, highest degree of the Isianic mysteries, mystery religion of Isis and Osiris, Mackey, Lexicon of Freemasonry, page 195. This is another quote from the Deadly Deception. Since Masonry is a revival of the ancient pagan mystery religions, its god can also be said to be nature, with its fertility sex gods and goddesses representing the sun and moon, as it is in Egypt, Osiris and Isis. Osiris is the sun god, Isis is the moon, the female is the moon. And, of course, you would see Isis in the, or Diana, all the different names that go for Isis. You would see her in the Catholic Church holding the baby, and that offspring was Tammuz. And let me make mention of this again. How do you know that that's not Mary and Jesus? I can tell you how you know. Because on the 40 days of Lent in the Catholic Babylonian religion, they lament for 40 days Tammuz's death, because Tammuz, the offspring of Osiris and Isis, or Nimrod and Semiramis, who brought back the mystery religions. He was killed while he was hunting. He was killed by a wild boar. This is the reason why the tradition of Easter, people eat ham. It's to take revenge on the animal that killed Tammuz or Tammuz, however you want to say it, tomato, tomato. That's what that's all about. Make no mistake of it. So, it continues. Another quote from Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, Fellowcraft Degree, page 22. Masonry, successor to the mysteries, the pagan religions of Isis, Osiris, Baal, Mithras, Tammuz, etc., Tammuz, still follows the ancient manner of teaching. You get it? Masonry does this. It's the successor to the mysteries, mystery religions. And you see, you must realize that this should show you that the Catholic Babylonian religion is just that. It's Babylonian. For that's where the mysteries were brought back. Supposedly, Nimrod was the first Mason in that time, and his wife, Semiramis, brought back the mystery religion. Notice it was a woman that brought back these mystery religions. And they declared their offspring, Tammuz, to be a god. What do you think? I think it's very interesting. And I think it's very revealing. Let's take a break. And we'll listen to one of my songs from my album, Kryptonaut. And let's see, which one? How about this one?
Turning in reverse.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com. Come, come, come. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do like what I'm doing and you'd like to help me keep my head above water, please consider giving a donation. You can do it at DavidJamesBoston.com. And I'd really appreciate it. Help me to keep alive so I can keep helping you. Help me in my work so that I can keep coming to you with these shows and teaching you. It would be very much appreciated. Okay, let's get back to what we're looking into. The next parallel here is both don't understand Christ's mediatorship, don't feel the need for Christ to be their mediator. Russell taught that the church did not need and never did need a mediator. The real mediator is the church complete. That is the head and the body, whose office will be undertaken only during the millennium. In 1880, Russell discovered, quote-unquote, that, quote, the use of the word mediator in the scriptures is restricted to the mediating of the covenants between God and man, unquote. And since the church is not under any mediated covenant, then the church has no mediator at all. The church has helped inaugurate the new covenant by providing blood. Therefore, the church itself is part of the mediatorship. Bear in mind that our covenant, the original one with Abraham, had no mediator. But in the millennium, a mediator is necessary, and in the Messiah, head and members will be that mediator in whose hands of control the entire world will be placed during the millennium. Watchtower, 1109, page 12 and 13. The elect becomes spirit creatures, gods and mediators. Did you hear that? The elect, in other words, the 144,000. You see how this, the Apostle Paul told us there's one mediator between Yahweh and man. And that is the Word of God. But I told you, and I thought it was such a revelation, that the Jehovah Witnesses do have a mediator between God and man, and that's the Jehovah Witness Bible, their word. See, they replaced the word of God, Yahweh's word, the scriptures, with their own word of God, and that's the mediator between you and the word of God. See, they placed an extra middleman. This is a very Jewish thing. They placed a middleman, a mediator between you and the word of God. It's their Bible. It's their written word that they have told you what to believe about the word of God. So they've placed an extra mediator between, when the Apostle Paul this says there's one mediator between God and man, well, now the Jehovah Witnesses really are saying, even though he just said what he said, they've placed an extra mediator between. Just like the Catholic Babylonian religion has placed the Pope in between you and the Father. You see? If the Apostle Paul said it was the Word of God, then why is the Pope the vicar of Christ? He who sits in place of the Word of God, you see? The vicar. He sits on earth in the place of Jesus Christ. He's the vicar of Christ. He lives vicariously. We live through him vicariously, supposedly. He's the vicar of Christ. He's the one that sits in place. He's the mediator between God and man. You understand? The Apostle Paul never said the Pope was the mediator. He said there's one mediator. And Make sure you understand that there is only one mediator, and it isn't the Pope. Let's continue. Russell was very confused about the mediatorship of Christ. And that confusion exists now in a different way, in that the society now holds that Christ is not the mediator for the great crowd, only for the 144,000. Wow. Yet, scriptures show his mediatorship is for a great crowd more numerous than the sand and the sea. He is the mediator for all mankind. But mankind only means his sheep. Not all races. Masonry believes, Claude McClung, Why I Left Masonry, page 24, relates how the Freemasons don't view Christ as the mediator. Jesus is de-emphasized in Freemasonry. The removal of the name Jesus, by the way, it's forbidden to say the name Jesus in the lodge. Jesus, the removal of the name Jesus and references to him in the Bible verses used in the rituals are slight but necessary modifications, quote unquote. Albert Mackey, Masonic Ritualist, page 272. The Rosicrucians, who were adopted as a Masonic level, see the Christ, as a class, the highest initiate degree of the Sun period. The ordinary humanity of that period are now the archangels. The Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception, page 376. I hope you're listening. A secret, mysterious body whose mysteries and secrets are only given to the initiated as they progress in the order. That's what a Gnostic religion is. That's how they hold a power base over people. They're giving you the information a little at a time. You have to keep returning to them for the information. Okay, Russell. What Pastor Russell taught International Bible Students Association, Brooklyn, New York, no date, page 210 and 211, states that the church is a mystery, and it is only to a privileged few that this mystery will be shared. Doesn't that sound like Freemasonry to you? Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, page 73, also carries a similar thought. Quote, the plan, the great plan, Masonry has the great plan. They have the plan. The plan is a progressive one, gradually unfolding from age to age, upward and onward to the grand consummation of the original design of the divine architect. Note again that the grand architect is not Yahweh himself, the Father in heaven. Masonry. Sickles, Daniel, 33rd degree. The General Ahiman Raison and Freemason's Guide, New York, Masonic Publishing Company, 1871, page 189, states, quote, Freemasonry in every degree, as before remarked, is progressive. A knowledge of it can only be attained by time, patience, and application. In the first degree, we are taught that the duties we owe to God, our neighbor, and ourselves. In the second, we are more thoroughly inducted into the mysteries of moral science. I told you it's a science and a religion. This is intellect, science. And learn to trace the goodness and majesty of the Creator by minutely analyzing his works. But the third degree is the cement of the whole. It is calculated to bind men together by mystic points of fellowship, as in a bond of fraternal brotherhood, affection, and brotherly love. you see that both of these said that they're progressive, right? What does the left call themselves in politics today? What are they called? The progressives, aren't they? Yeah, I leave that silence there because I know your mind is, the gears in your mind are saying, ooh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Of course, that is on the supposition that you care about what I'm talking about and teaching you. It continues here. History of Freemasonry in Concordant Orders, page 105, states, Masonry, like all religions, let me just stop right there. I told you it was a religion and a science. It just told you it was a science itself, and now it just told you it was a religion. Yet I told you that there will be people that will come out, or they have come out in the past when I've taught on Freemasonry, that they say Freemasonry is not a religion. And I say, well, why do you worship at the temple? And so on and so forth. But many, many times you will find, like Albert Pike admitted it was a religion, but it is a science too. That's what the difference is. Intellect is science. See, the Pharisees were religious, but they were scientists and black magicians. They were religious zealots. That doesn't mean they were Christian. It just meant they were religious. There are religious spirits, and that's what they were. Religious spirits are some of the most vile spirits you'll ever come across, ever. And that's what the Pharisees were. They were both religious and scientists. They were like Freemasons, Kabbalists, black magicians, not meaning black in color, black magicians, meaning the black magic art, they call it. So, Masonry, like all religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages, or the elect, the intellect, and uses false explanations and misrepresentations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. That's the profane, you and I. To conceal the truth, which it calls light, from them, and to draw them away from it. Now, let me stop right there. What did I start out with today? You see, these people that are in the truth movements, they're so-called truth people. You know, the Alan Watts who say, to your God or your gods, right at the end of their shows. And, you know, all these people that say, it's not the Jews, it's not the Jews. See, that's what the truth is, that it's the Jews. But like these things, they deliberately mislead people. And they draw them away from the truth of what it really is and tell them it's something else. Because they don't want you. Bill Cooper failed because everybody in his audience, or many of his audience, found out it was the Jews and kept telling him so. So he failed. And they took him out and replaced him with Alex Jones, which made him doubly angry. And that's what it was about. It's about drawing you away from who the real root of the problem is and giving you one of its tentacles so that maybe you chop off its tentacle someday, but you don't go to the head and kill it. You understand? And that's what it's saying right here. So let me read this again. Masonry, like all religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism, and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts, sages, or the elect. And uses, see, they even call theirs elect, like the Father. It's all a copy. And uses false explanations and misrepresentations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth, which it calls light, from them, and to draw them away from it, away from the light. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it or would pervert it. Let me stop right there. Remember, I was just talking recently on a show about that they say it's okay to lie to people that don't deserve the truth, that are not worthy of the truth. You see, these things just keep coming into view to give testimony. See, what I'm doing now is I'm not trying to teach you to be a Mason or to gravitate towards masonry. I'm trying to teach you what a falsehood this is. It's the imitation of the body of Christ. It's the imitation church. It's the church of the devil is what it is. And just like all the religions of the world, both of these religions, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Masons, have Lucifer as their god, the great architect of the universe. It goes, the architect of the universe, the architect uses the compass and the square, and I told you that the compass can go 360 degrees, 3 and 6 is 9. And the square is 90 degrees, 9 and 9 is 18, therefore 666 is encoded. I talked about this on the Rabbit Hole radio show. 666 is encoded both in the Jewish hexagram, which has 6 lines, 6 pyramids, and a 6-sided figure in the center of it. It has 666 encoded right into it. The same is true of the Freemasonic square and compass, only it's not spelled out for you very, very easily. See, that compass is also at 60 degrees, even though it can go 360 degrees, which would make it a 9, right? 6 and 3 is 9. Or 6 times 3 is 18. You could say 666 encoded that way. But the square is 90 degrees, and the compass is 60 degrees. That's a 69. 6 for man, 9 for the devil. Just as I told you about the Edomite star turned up, would be 6, you know, and then down. I mean, it would be the children of the devil, and then turn it down, and it's the devil. Just as I told you, the yin and yang is the equality between good and evil, the male and the female. This is part of the Kabbalah and everything for people. These Jews believe they have to do just as much good as they do evil to balance out their deeds, like as if it was going to somehow equal out their deeds and they would be, you know, all the good things they did would wipe out the bad things they did. But it won't be that way at all. So the reason why I'm teaching you these things is so that you can understand them in the sense of how you're being tricked. If you're a Freemason, you don't even realize that this is the same thing as Solomon's Temple. Who gave you the idea to want to rebuild the Temple of Solomon? Why, it's the hidden hand of Freemasonry, the Jew Illuminati, the Jews who control Freemasonry. That's who gave you that. Okay, so let's continue. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it or would pervert it. The teachers, even of Christianity, are in general the most ignorant of the true meaning of that which they teach. There is no book of which so little is known as the Bible. Oh, really? To most who read it, it is as incomprehensible as the Sohar, spelt with an S. See, I told you that. Sohar. But they call it today in today's Jewish media, the Zohar, don't they? So Masonry, quote, this is a quote, so Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters astray. Next parallel. Both claim not to be a religion, nor a religious body, nor a denomination, but only serve God and allow freedom of conscience. Russell. Concerning Russell's attitude on this, an example is found in The Watchtower and the Herald of Christ's Presence, February 1, 1911, page 38 and 39. He writes that the royal priesthood is composed of saints, regardless of denomination. In the text of a sermon that Russell gave at St. Paul, Minnesota, August 19, 1906, Russell said, "The Lord is, in a general way, believed in by all civilized people." You're darn right it is. The Lord, Baal, is in a general way believed in by all civilized people. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? See, that's a testimony that all the religions of the world have the same God, the devil, Lucifer, Halel, Baal, whatever you want to call this creature, the Lord. That's not referring to the Father in heaven at all. These people are tricksters, and like the Jews, they're using jargon to trick people. He continues here. Russell writes in January 1883, page 2 and 3, "Christianity invites all fair and sensible opposition and reasoning. Too many Christian ministers act as though they fear the infidel speaker. This is a deplorable weakness. Sectarianism will have to melt away." Yes. What is sectarianism? We know sections or whatever, right? But let's just quickly just grab that. What will have to melt away here? Are they not bringing forth a new religion by melting all the religions together? Because why? They have something great in common, that the God of all the religions is the devil himself. Let's look it up. Sectarianism. I know what it is, denominations or whatever. Excessive attachment to a particular sect or party, especially in religion. Religious sectarianism. So he says here that it will have to end. It'll have to melt away. And when that point of development is reached where the simplest reason cannot see anything left that does not the plainest violence to reason, the goal of Christianity will be reached. That's not the goal of Christianity. That's the goal of Jewish Christianity, the Jewish version. Now let's listen to Masonry. An example of Freemason views is this statement in the Los Angeles Freeman in 1900. "One thing all must believe is there is a God." Yeah. After that, the manner of serving God, the form of doctrine, is left to each individual. He reads the message and obeys it according to his understanding and agreeability to the dictates of his conscience. Okay, the next parallel. Are you finding this interesting? Because I am. And I love to see a testimony that condemns these false religions. Members of their organization do not need to renounce their membership in other religious bodies. Now, I know we read these types of things. It seems like we're repeating the same things over, but he uses different things in different ways. So, in the book, what Pastor Russell said on page 347, it quotes Russell clearly telling his followers that they could belong to any denomination. However, Pastor Russell, although he did not make it a point of fellowship, did encourage people to leave their churches. An example of the attitude when Russell lived is seen in the rare book Man's Salvation, written by Joseph F. Rutherford and printed by the Watchtower Society in 1906, page 91, states, "The Bible and Tract Society is strictly non-sectarian and seeks only to do good by helping everyone who wishes to help, no matter what or to what sect or church denomination he may belong. All Bible students will be interested in the wonderful truths pointed out and discussed in the books." You see, that's called universalism, ladies and gentlemen. That's called, we're moving toward the New World Order, which they are very fond of, as well as Masonry, and the New World Religion. All religions getting together. It doesn't matter what church you belong to or what any of these things. You're welcome. Open doors, open hearts, open minds. Remember that? Now, what does Masonry believe? The non-sectarian attitude of the Freemason is seen in the Constitution of the Order, drawn up by Dr. Anderson in 1723. Quote, "But though in ancient times Masons were charged in every country to be of the religion of that country or nation, whatever it was, yet 'tis now thought more expedient not only to oblige them to that religion in which all men agree, leaving their particular opinions to themselves, that is, to be good men and true, or men of honor and honesty, by whatever denominations or persuasions they may be distinguished.'" Let me stop right here. Recently, as I was ejected from Eurofolkradio.com, they said I was causing disunity. And I found that to be funny, because when you rebuke somebody for doing something, that's not causing disunity. That's rebuking somebody for doing something that they're doing wrong and should be corrected. So correcting people is not disunity. However, at the same time, they talked about how they wanted to unify with all these different people. Hello? You know, they were at these organized events where people were absolutely drunk out of their minds, and the Teflon rabbi claimed how we need to get together with these type of people. It's the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's the same thing. One must be so astute that they can read between the lines of what's going on. You must be able to read between the lines. See, on one side, they're kicking you out for giving your opinions. Then they come out and say, "We're interested in your opinions." The hypocrisy is just absolutely astounding. So this continues here. Let me continue here now. "The founding fathers of the U.S., many of them Masons, set this country up, set it up, get it? In a similar fashion. At times, freedom of religion seems to be considered freedom from true religion." Right. "At other times, those who believe are glad to be able to have their own personal beliefs without the constraints of some countries exercise on religion. The rub for true Christian comes in that you can be a Christian Mason as long as Christ is not mentioned in the lodge." You see that? Now, that's kind of funny, that because this freedom of religion in America sets the premise to bring all religions together by cohabitation, right? You know what I mean? Don't you think that's interesting? You know, I never really thought of that, this freedom of religion thing, is what brought us to the point we're at right now, this particular thing. So you can come here and be a Satanist, and you're free to be a Satanist here. And Bill Cooper said that he would fight for your right to be a Satanist. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody's confused, and it's not me or you, I don't think. Next parallel belief, the church is a pyramid. Russell specifically states in Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, The Hidden Mystery, page 83, that the church is a pyramid. When Russell used the expression Jehovah's Witness, he meant the Great Pyramid. William Petrie first suggested that the top stone itself is a small pyramid and it might symbolize Christ. Russell used Job 38:4-7, Psalms 118, verse 22, Isaiah 28, verse 16, and Matthew 24:21, verse 42, to prove his conclusion that the top stone symbolized Christ and the base of the rest the elect. This is portrayed in many of his charts. Russell also believed Jeremiah 3:20 referred to the Great Pyramid. Masonry. The pyramid appears in a number of key Masonic places. For instance, in a Masonic portrayal of God's throne, a pyramid is pictured there. World Family Encyclopedia, 1954 edition, Freemasonry quote, is the quote, page 1854. The pyramid is a symbol of eternity. Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian Symbolical Philosophy, page 16. That's exactly 61, I guess, really. Very interesting. The Great Pyramid was the first temple of mysteries and represents many things, including various ways of seeing man. It is, quote, the visible covenant between eternal wisdom and the world, unquote. Now, the cross, the Maltese cross, the one you've seen, the one he keeps calling the Swissies, it looks like four triangles sitting down on each other. And what that is a flattened out pyramid, just so you'll know. It's everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. You see this iconery everywhere. Let's see if we can get through this. I think we can. The next similarity, or the next parallel belief, neither are really Bible-based beliefs, neither the Masons nor the Jehovah's Witnesses. Russell, an unbiased review of Russell's claims shows he claimed that reading the Bible alone produced darkness. His books produced light and were the key to understand the scriptures. The Laodicean Messenger, page 69, hello, Russell gave us the keys to the scripture. Likewise, the modern-day society lamented in a Watchtower that those who read only the Bible reverted back to Christian beliefs. Their belief then is really based on those keys, which are not biased, are not based on the Bible at all, but the reasoning of man. And in Masonry, contrary to popular belief, is not based upon the Bible. Masonry is actually based on the Kabbalah. And they spell it two or three different ways in the past couple of things. This is spelled with a K and a C and Q. A medieval book of magic and mysticism. That's what the Kabbalah is. A medieval book of magic and mysticism. And that's from The Deadly Deception, page 128. Masonry makes no profession of Christianity, but looks forward to the time when the labor of our ancient brethren shall be symbolized by the erection of a spiritual temple, in which there shall be but one altar and one worship, one common altar of Masonry, on which the Veda, Shastra, Sayed, Zenvestra, Quran, and the Holy Bible shall lie. In all and at whose shrine the Hindu, the Persian, the Assyrian, the Chaldean, the Egyptian, the Chinese, the Mohammedan, the Jew, and the Christian may kneel. The Kentucky Monitor, Fellow Craft Agree, page 95. You can clearly see, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the emulsification of the religions. We're going to have to stop right there. You understand that these two are working to emulsify all religions into one religion, and they're both pro-New World Order for the Jews. They're both pro for Jewish world domination. Can you dig what I'm telling you? You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.